Another thing too, what about cloud computing? As in, all the they are also doom and gloom predictions. They are still doom and gloom predictions. Serverless, when serverless was hot, I think in the last 2-3 years, what they all said, no need for programmers again, no need for no more software. Serverless is going to take over, it's going to flush everything. So all these predictions, every year there is predictions about some new thing that is going to be the death of all old things. But that is not always the case. I'm not saying that, but that does not mean that you should also not be diligent and also not move with the times. And I'm not saying that all predictions are going to be wrong, but the number of them that are going to be correct is very minute, it's very small, a very small fraction. And also, the things that actually create the most change are the things nobody saw coming or nobody sees coming. The web as an application delivery platform. Nobody saw that coming.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever and wherever you're listening to us from, this is the Creatives Chronicles, the podcast for designers and developers. Here on the show, we share our experiences, our learnings and feelings. We keep it real. We explore topics and conversations to help you become a well-rounded professional. My name is Bright Emeka, and as always, I'm joined by the man, the myth, and the legend, Bosuke Chukunda. Good morning, boss.
Yeah, good day, and hello to the audience.
Yeah. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. It's a pleasure to have you. We do appreciate your time. Today's topic is going to be really interesting and, really fun. As changes in technology and advancement of tools continue, there has always been some reservation in some quarters, and the fear is that jobs will be lost to the machines. According to a recent report released by Oxford Economics, millions of laborers in the manufacturing sector are projected to lose their jobs to robots by 2030, 20 million laborers to be exact. And while most of the impact is expected to be felt by lower skilled laborers, there is agreement that as technology advances, there simply will not be enough jobs to go around. The industries expected to be least impacted by technology are those that will always require a human touch. This includes arts, social work, and any other job requiring creativity, compassion, and social intelligence, according to the Oxford report. I think it's not unfounded, because we have seen as the world has progressed, there were times where the job computer or computing was actually a human actually computing numbers together. But technology, as we've seen, has made a lot of things easier, and also there's always been loss of jobs in some quarters. Do you think this fear is unfounded, or should we be scared as technologists?
Let's look at the historical record. How many of gloom and doom predictions have come to pass? Or have come to pass and inflicted the level of calamity they were predicted to do? I think number one, it's good to look at motivations. All this doom and gloom news, they come from the news media, right? And it is the news media's job to spread news that will, one, capture attention, two, that will go far and wide. And bad news is better at doing that than good news. So the incentive is for them to spread bad news, because that is what leads to the maximum financial gain for them. So everything that comes, you're going to the next thing that follows it in the news reports are all the doom and gloom predictions. But one thing that we should be cognizant of is the fact that human beings are horribly bad at making predictions, because most times these changes are lateral and exponential, and human beings can make lateral and exponential predictions. Most of our predictions are basically linear. If you look at all the science fiction novels and stuff of the 1950s, how many of them predicted the smartphone? They are just drawing, their predictions are just going from in a straight line from computers, just looking at how computers will morph over the over time and over the years. Somebody could see the invention and the rise of smartphones and other stuff we've been able to invent over the time, over the years. All of Uber, Airbnb, and the rest of them. So it's basically the cycle of life. Some things get destroyed, but other things will get created. People only tend to want to focus on, this is going to destroy jobs. What about the jobs it creates? There was a time when Basic and Pascal were the reigning languages. Since those have gone away, those are not in the limelight again. Are all programmers jobless? Haven't they found other languages to work with? It's as old as time. I mean, jobs have always been rendered obsolete and new jobs have been created. Do you know that there was your alarm clock in the early 19th century and down to before the Second World War? It was actually somebody's job. Human beings were the original alarm clocks. But now you just need to set it on your phone and you don't need to hire anybody to come and ring you up at the appointed time. What about lift operators? There was a time when lifts were operated by somebody, a staff, who makes you go up and down, who ferry people up and down. That is not the case again. In the banking sector, one that is more recent, ATMs are doing the job of bank tellers. Does that mean that all banks now don't employ anybody because we have a multiplicity of ATMs being deployed around? So most times, it's good to take the doom and gloom predictions with a grain of salt, because one, our hit rates, our success rates of predictions is horrible as a species. Then two, just go online and look at all the predictions that human beings have made about everything. If you look at the horror scenarios, the doom and gloom prediction for AI, compare it to what people were saying about the steam engine, you will laugh, because it's basically the same thing. People are saying, steam engine will wreak havoc, it will do this, the machines will take over. Steam engines that are not intelligent, the machines will take over, they will do this one, they will ruin, they will do this, they will do that, they will do that, they will do that. So there's always been doom and gloom predictions. When locomotives came out, it got so bad that people are predicting that if trains, because then they were very slow, so if trains, so thought that if trains were going to be, will ever go faster than 13 kilometers per hour, that the vibration they will cause earthquake and destroy cities, that passing by, they're going to vaporize, if you stand by them, you're going to be vaporized because of the speed and momentum at 13 miles per hour, that cows, they will kill cows on the field and everything. So a lot of horrible and misguided and inaccurate, funnily inaccurate predictions were made about locomotives, about vehicles too, motor vehicles, motor cars, and a lot of other things. So, let's say the business of doom and gloom prediction did not start today. It's as old as time. And
yeah.
We have less than a 10% rate of success. It's people should not get unnecessarily worked up over all these predictions. But most times, you look at the people, look at the credentials of the people making this prediction. They don't know anything. So it's some journalists somewhere were making predictions about what AI is going to do. I'm not necessarily saying that it's only people that are best in the field that can make predictions. But when the people in the field are bad at making predictions, then people who don't know what they're talking about, so how successful are they going to be? Let's all bear that in mind and not be too scared unnecessarily.
Yeah, true, very true. And one good thing that has happened over the years is that as some jobs have been lost, also there's also opportunities in a number of fields. Like there are more opportunities, because when we lose the operator in the elevator, now there is more room to use that person in another productive sector. So I think one of the things we should be doing as creatives and techies is that we should be studying, for instance, if this job I'm doing can be automated like perfectly, how can I make myself more valuable, that regardless of whatever progress is made in this field, I would still be relevant. I would still have what to contribute in this sector.
Yeah, so I think we could also look at it that way. Yeah, that's it. Although I did not touch on that, it's one of the things I pointed out, that it's the cycle of life, destruction and creation, not just destruction alone. Like the example I gave, all the basic and Pascal programmers, they did not die off. They transitioned to other fields. Because as old things are destroyed, new things are created. ATM machines might have reduced the need for tellers. What about people who the jobs that the ATM machine directly created? Maybe the people that create the ATM machines, the people that service it, the people that upgrade the software, and the people that do a whole lot of things. And also, what about the other bank jobs that they are made possible because of the ATM itself? And most times, too, most of these destruction, people only look at, let's say, one particular forest in the trees. The resultant creation leads to more value creation than what is destroyed. For example, the ATM has made the banking industry generally more valuable. And that value is not only going to be, is not only being enjoyed by the banks themselves, but by members of society. The amount of commerce that is made possible by ATM is orders of magnitude greater than what was there, what was obtainable before. So people only look at that. Of course, if you start going into the benefits and the upsides of this destruction, the other side of the coin, it then defeats the purpose of scaring people. So most times you only hear about these jobs that are going to be destroyed and everything and everything, and not what is going to be created. Because if we ask ourselves, all the other jobs that have been destroyed from time immemorial, where did the people go? Did they die off? Or did the human being die off in mass numbers because some jobs were made obsolete? Didn't they go to other jobs that were either created or were enhanced by the obsolescence of these other jobs? How many of us today we want to go and get a job as the human alarm clock, as used to be the case in the early 19th century? And how much would that be?
Yeah, very true, very true. And technology and tools, they are actually tools. They facilitate better production, they facilitate better creation of and better automation. So they are not entirely competition per se. They are aids to because the goal is the same. The goal is productivity for businesses. The goal is to get the best hands to do the work that is needed to be done. So don't see them entirely as competition. See them as, okay, these are tools that you could also learn and understand how best they are functioning, and they would function and then evolve, like they could evolve or die. Yeah.
That is basically the circle of life. Anything that is stasis brings corruption, which also degrades value. Look at the economies of the world where creative destruction is not allowed, where the creative process is hampered, and how do the economies, how are the economies faring? So, another thing too, what about cloud computing? They are also doom and gloom predictions. They are still doom and gloom predictions. Serverless, when serverless was hot, I think in the last 2-3 years, what they all say, no need for programmers again, no need for no more software, serverless is going to take over, it's going to flush everything. So all these predictions, every year there is predictions about some new thing that is going to be the death of all old things. But that is not always the case. I'm not saying that, but that does not mean that you should also not be diligent and also not move with the times. And I'm not saying that all predictions are going to be wrong, but the number of them that are going to be correct is very minute, it's very small, a very small fraction. And also, the things that actually create the most change are the things nobody saw coming or nobody sees coming. The web as an application delivery platform, nobody saw that coming. The web was basically just to read papers and read text. How many people saw things like YouTube going through the web? So the things that actually lead to the greatest revolutionary change, nobody sees them coming because those are exponential or lateral changes. So since most of the things that will have the most effect, we don't see them coming, I don't think we should we should worry ourselves too much about the predictions that we can make, because from historical record, they're going to be wrong. Because I keep hitting on that point, because of course the news medium, they have affected the act of scaring people. So it's even people who should know better will be scared when they start reading. Everywhere they turn to, they're seeing all these doom and gloom predictions. So that's why I'm hammering on this point, so that people will at least, before giving into the automatic response of fear, you're going to think, and okay, all the other doom and gloom predictions, you can go online, go year by year, from the 1920s to today, all the doom and gloom predictions, how many of them came to pass? And most of the things that, all the revolutionary things that happened between then and now, most of them were not predicted, because nobody saw them coming. Nobody could see them coming. And human beings, prediction is not actually our strong suit. So let's say, why not invest your energies in places that you're going to reap the most benefits by keeping up with the times, sensing and noticing the technological trends and changes and adapting to survive in the new environment.
Yeah, through study the times, know the times. This is the way to stay relevant. Keep up with the times, study, adapt. You will be relevant. It's really been an interesting conversation. We'll keep having conversations like this in the future. So please, would want you to also contribute as you're listening to us. How do you think you could position yourself best to profit very well, effectively, from the changing technological advancement and the future of work, like it to be called in most quarters? So let's hear from you too. We're not we don't have the answer to every single option and edge case, but we would love to hear from you. So keep the conversations going on our social media, the post for this episode. Please tell us what you think about the future of work and how technologies can also position themselves best to profit maximally. It's really been an interesting conversation. We'll keep you going in another episode. Is there anything you want to add?
So basically, the summary of the whole thing is, when you hear these doom and gloom predictions, you should bear at the back of your mind that we've been making doom and gloom predictions from the beginning of time. And our success record, or to use it, a technology jargon, our hit rate is less than 5%. We are horribly atrocious at predictions. So most of the changes that happen are things nobody predicted. So don't be afraid when you see all the doom and gloom predictions going around. Just do the things you know you're supposed to do. Keep up with the technological trends. Keep your skills up to date. And forget about the predictions. Because most of them will be wrong. And the ones that will be right will not be right in the ways they were predicted.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Because once you give in to fear, almost every decision you'll be making based on fear might not be the best decisions you would have made if you had like a really, really clear head and level mind. So it's a good thing not to operate from the place of fear. They can understand the heat rate, Bosuke has said. And last week, good day, all right. It will be said in Nigerian parlance. For myself, it will also be, these are tools, they are tools. Don't forget, they are tools, and they are meant to facilitate work. So find out how best they are changing and adapt, evolve, and we'll all be better for it. Please do remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Visit thecreativeschronicles.com/subscribe. Select your favorite podcast player, click on the subscribe button. And please leave us a review on iTunes. This helps other creatives discover the show on iTunes and whatever podcast player you're using. Keep the conversation going on our social media. Tell us what stood out for you in today's episode. And do let us know, right? Feel free to send us suggestions, topic suggestions on Twitter. Our handle is @BrideCEmeka and @UKChucks. Links will be in the show notes, all right? If you found this episode valuable, please do share with friends and loved ones. Remember to always be creating. Go out today and create awesomeness. We will see you next week. Bye for now.